everybody. Welcome to a very, very special edition of Pub Table Racers tonight. My name is Tim Packer. Who cares? Because sitting next to me is the most recent Daytona 500 winner from Team Penske, Austin Cendric, one and only Warren Broussard.
Thank you, Tim.
Thank you very much. Congratulations. We have a bucket of beer in front of us because you know what? We always do our Pub Table Racers. We were going to get champagne to toast this event, but we have the champagne of beers. What more do you need?
What more do you need?
Congratulations to you, my friend.
Appreciate it.
Tonight's show,
we are in a rapid removal
studio tonight.
I told
you. We are in honor.
He gets pro bono tonight.
No, he gets that. We're in the pro bono studios. Rapid removal studios. Tonight, we have a very special show. In addition to Warren, we're going to be joined by Kirk Almquist, the car chief for the number 2 Ford of Team Penske, the victory lane in Daytona with Austin, and also the engine tuner, engine specialist, Darren Russell, of also Rapid Removal. Before we get to that, let's what are we talking about? Tonight's show, did that. Real quick, tell us about the 500. What was it like to win it again?
It was great.
By the way, this is Warren's fourth time.
Yeah, it's always great to win there. You almost don't expect it. It's not a normal race, so you don't sit there and go, oh, we got this one. Even if you're leading with 10 to go, it's not like being at a mile and a half, where if you're leading with 10 to go, you expect you're going to be like, yep, we got it. We might as well, let's start drinking our beer now. But no, that one you don't know. It's a last lap, and you don't know until you cross the finish line if you won.
Right.
So even that car, we were half a car length, maybe less.
Yeah.
Before Bob could have won it.
All right. We're going to hear from the other guys, but I want to hear from you before we bring that up. Talk to me about into 3-4. Start finish line.
Oh, I'm just gonna say if Blaney's not behind him, we definitely don't win that race. He doesn't win that race, and Blaney stayed with him as long as he could. I don't think that either one of them did anything wrong. Mm-hmm. I think that's once he left them, it's time to block them in. That's just the way it is, and it turned out it's all everyone for himself. So. But yeah, if it ain't for that teammate, he doesn't have a chance.
And from what I was telling you earlier, we're in the media center, they had the overhead coverage, and we didn't know if you guys won or Bubba Wallace won, because what we saw was you guys ahead and then Bubba Wallace, but when he went ahead, he had already passed the stripe and then made the turn, but knowing where the apex was. So there was a little mystery there until they declared it. And I know I told people, but you're not supposed to cheer in the press box in the media center, but I might have gone yes like that. And the guy next to me goes, "What was that for?" I said, "Those are good. My best friends up there just wanted some bunch of other guys I know." He goes, "Oh, that's okay then." But I didn't like jump up and down. But it was very cool.
You didn't have like a pop.
No, I had nothing like that. No, that was no. They were like, "Nice seeing you, Tim. Get the hell out." Brought to you. Okay. Real quick, other sponsors. Who's behind you right there, Warren?
It's RacingJunk.com.
Yep. Anything with wheels and deals,
skis. They
have it. They have
or a boat hall or anything.
Buildings, they have it.
Right.
And also the garage shop. We've been doing some great things over there. Check out the YouTube channel. And the Aero Wars are starting to come together. We're putting episodes together, and we're going to make it into a documentary series picked up by either MAP TV, Motor Trend, possibly, or even Discovery's Asports.
Okay, nice.
We'll see how that goes.
That's awesome.
By the way, I want to say thank you very much to everybody who tuned in and followed what we did down in Daytona. It was great to go down there and cover the sport again. And I made the decision a week or so ago, like, you know what? We have this website. We have this outlet. There's more to us than just this show. So we took it to everybody down there. We took it to the people and, did some interviews and fan of the day and talked about things that maybe other people don't know about. I mean, I'm not down there for breaking news, although I could if I wanted to. But it was good. So I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for all your reactions and your support and watching it. And Warren said you got some cool comments in the garage.
Positive feedback from that stuff. Yeah, a lot of people like
it. So we're going to keep it up. And my next race, I'm going to go to Las Vegas. We'll be coming to you there. I'm going to skip California and then whatever tracks I can get to, we're going to do it. But you know how I'm going to get to those tracks? By you folks buying merchandise. Hey, we have these tumblers. We have hats. We have t-shirts. Go check them on our website, pubtableracers.com. Merchandise and get them. And speaking of stuff,
Here it is, folks. Drum roll.
After talking about it, so on. My new children's book is out, Petey the Pace Car. The books came in yesterday, so I have them. If you want to get one in person this Saturday from 2 to 4 at the Village Tap House, I will be there. signing books.
Bring your kids to a bar and get a book.
Yeah, well, I mean, all the bookstores. I don't know what
almost
my bookstores.
Like Wisconsin.
Almost like Wisconsin. You know, we are pub table racers. Right. We do things with beer, so.
It's a nice family eatery,
yeah,
too.
So from 2 to 4, I'll be
you
there.
You got chicken fingers.
I'll be set, chicken fingers, chicken nuggets, and hot dogs. So I'll be set up there. So come out, get a book. And if you want to get one online, reach out to me via Facebook Messenger or Tim Packman at yahoo.com. I want to be honest and upfront right now. The book is $25. It was supposed to be less. When I got the book and I saw the price, I was kind of like, what? Ink prices, paper prices, production layer. It's part of what it is, and I'm sorry. So it's $25 for the book in person, $30 online for shipping and handling, whatever. So I have 100 of them. When they're gone, I'll get more. So if you want one, reach out to me and we'll make it happen. So with that said, the very first book I want to present is to my good friend to my right here. This is for you and your wife.
Oh, nice.
Thank you so much for everything and for being friends and all the good
times.
It'd
be great if I could read.
There's good news for you, though, Warren. There's pictures in the back. There's coloring.
Oh, okay.
Coloring section. There you go.
Do I got to stay in the lines?
You sure as hell don't. I don't expect you to.
A couple more of these, I ain't staying in the lines.
No, that's exactly. So that's the first book.
Should be a test when you get pulled over. All right, stay in the lines.
Honor to give you the first book. All right, so I want to thank you.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you for your friendship and support. Thank you. You're making a joke. It's okay. It's nothing expected. All right. Enough of our crap. Let's bring him on. What do
bring
you say?
Bring him on. Yeah.
We are, first of all, with the only podcast.
Hell yeah.
Hot podcast, I think, that's going to have three winning members of the Daytona 500. Let's bring up Kirk Almquist and Darren Russell. Come join us, guys, here at the pub table. This is awesome. First of all, Warren, let's tell everybody, when and where did you ask these guys to be on tonight?
In Victory Lane, right after the confetti. I actually dumped beer on Kirk to turn him around.
Right.
And he's like, yeah! And then we had a hug, and then I'm like, hey, man, can you come out to your show?
Look at it, always working. All right, with that said, guys, congratulations.
Cheers
to the
guys.
Beers on that.
Man, all that's right. A good one right there.
That's you guys, that's amazing. Yeah. So we were talking before the show. Real quick, here's how many Daytona 500s are sitting at this table. Warren.
Four. Uno.
Two. Is that 11?
That's
11.
Can I say it?
You, no. 11. That's 11 Daytona 500 sitting. This is what you get a pub table racer. Now, on another note, you guys are prior guests.
Right. Both of them.
So, if you guys out there in teams want to win the Daytona 500 or races, this
come
is the place to be.
Come
to
the pub table racer. We bring you good luck.
That's it. We have two beers going. Okay, first of all, let's talk about your thoughts towards the end, like during the race and towards the end. You're the engine guy, so you're making sure that horsepower is cranking.
Yeah, I don't get excited until you cross the finish line. You can't. I've been so disappointed coming out of turn four too many times, so I don't get excited. I used to. Last year we had a really good chance
right.
of winning.
Yeah.
Got wrecked. So it's hard to really cheer. But, yeah, I mean, just having the engine hold together. Yeah, I mean, you're pretty much just praying the whole time.
Okay. Yeah. Coming out of three and four towards the stripe.
I knew we had a really good chance with Ryan behind us. Like Warren said, we probably wouldn't have won that race. I would guarantee we probably wouldn't have won it if Ryan wasn't behind us. But that last caution, Austin came over the radio. He said, the only way we're going to win this is if we get in front of Ryan. And Crew Chief said, good luck convincing them of that. And Spotter came over. He said, nope, they're on board. Let's do it. He's like, okay, right on. Let's roll. So coming out of four, I mean, we knew we had a chance, but just, yeah, fingers crossed. Can't breathe at that point.
Any fears of last year comeback?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Absolutely. I mean, he got together with Bubba a little bit. And then he was trying to block a little, and you're just hoping that you didn't do the same thing that Joey did in the 125s or the 150s, is try and block when he's already underneath you and then wrecked. So it is what it is. But he did a good job. I mean, Austin did a great job holding his own and not trying to do something stupid to block and cause a catastrophe.
A very intelligent and precise young man there.
Yeah.
From what I see. Very calculating.
Absolutely. Yeah.
You know, he did a really, really good job. He didn't have like this rookie meltdown and, mm-hmm. you know, wrecked the whole field. It was.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to be in his shoes. I mean, because right. you know, you're just
pressure, right?
you're like, oh, and spotter says something inside, outside. You're like, ah, I just want to go. All
right, Kirk, let's talk about you. This is your first Daytona 500.
Yep.
How's it feel?
Shoot, I can't.
How long have you been in the sport?
There you go.
I went since 99. 22 years, I guess. Right?
22 years of 500s.
Yeah.
So as the car chief, it's your job to make crew chief Jeremy Bones look good, right?
Absolutely.
Every week.
I don't think he's watching.
No, he's watching. If not, his wife is going. All right. So here's your chance. You've been close a bunch of times before.
Big time, yep.
And you've had the heartache and you go home going, damn it. Now this time, talk about 3-4 to the stripe. What were you doing? What were you thinking?
Man, I'll tell you what, we crossed the stripe for the white flag and I saw we were in the lead and Blaney was pushing us and I was like, all right, well, I didn't know what was gonna happen. And normally for the last 22 years, we would just wreck in a fireball and it'll be over. So I decided not to watch the last lap. And put my head down, and I was packing my computer, put my helmet away, and I refused to look at the TV or anything.
So you had
no idea.
You didn't want that letdown again.
I didn't want that letdown again. Wow. I just knew it was coming. I knew we were gonna wreck. Like in my mind, I knew it was over. So I didn't want to watch it. So I was putting my stuff away. You know, I was finally putting my computer in, zipping my bag, putting my helmet away, and I saw everybody jumping off the wall, screaming. I'm like. I just looked up. I'm like, holy shit, what is that? I couldn't believe it. I was like, okay, well, here we go. You know, so it was exciting. That was the best way for me to handle that situation.
Well, congrats. That's awesome. I mean, it's amazing that that's how you handle it.
I couldn't.
And so you got off the reaction of your teammates.
Yep, I was waiting.
And then, then you jumped off the wall and jumped.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, give Jeremy Bones a big high five, and Grant, our engineer, was there, and then climbed down the ladder, and it was a lot of fun after that. I was feeling stuff. Partying since then, so now we're here.
So when was your 99?
Yeah.
When was your first one, Darren? You remember? When not your first win.
First
when your nice when you first when you first did a cup. 500.
It was 2000. 2000. I was working for Robert Yates Racing, tuning on Darren Waltrip's car.
Mine was 97 or 98. So we're real
years. 03, 04.
Okay.
Right. Your first was who? With Yates?
Yeah, I was working for Yates at the time. Okay. Dale Jarrett won it, 2000. And I was tuning on Darren Waltrip's car.
Okay, got it. So, okay, got it.
So we won it as a company. I won three as a company, but this one right here means the most. Because it was my car. I'm in victory lane.
Yeah.
It was my engine I was tuning. It was like I had 100% to do with this car. Because you can win it as a company. Dale Jarrett, Ryan Newman, Joey Logano.
Right.
As a company, and you always have somewhat of your hands on that at some point through the ranks. But for this one to be me at the track, me in victory lane,
it was part of that actual team roster member,
me.
So I get the company win, but I was actually down there with these guys helping them. So I don't feel like it's just a company win, you know.
Yeah, he's hands on with the car.
Yeah, I get to help these guys. I got to help them with them. So otherwise, it does lack a little luster when you're not part of the actual, you know, having something actual to do with that.
Kind of give a crap. I'm the website guy.
You were posted a picture of the car on the website.
That's right there. Trust me. Look to the right. There I am. I see what you're saying. So this is your first hands-on win. That's very good. What did you do? What are the first things you did? I mean, we did the pictures. You did all the, and you guys, did you call anybody? Did you reach out to anyone?
So called my wife. I called my mom.
Good.
Called my dad. Yeah. My dad was ice fishing up in Lake Champlain, so he was with all the guys. His guys' trip, ice fishing up there.
Perfect.
Called them. They were hooting and hollering. They got this little shack up
there. I know what it is.
They were hooting and hollering.
Catch you all
eyes.
I called
my grandmother.
Very nice.
And then I called my nephew Cash.
Were you in victory lane when you were still doing this?
It was all over. So we were back and forth out to the car and in the infield and everything. So it was kind of a mixture of all around. And then my little nephew Cash, he called me before the race, say good luck. And
good.
Yeah, he's jumping up and down.
Very good.
Yeah.
Yourself?
Yeah, so I FaceTimed my wife and my kids when we were in victory lane.
That's awesome.
Pretty special. Yeah, they really appreciated that. And It's like a moment you share with everybody, and it's right. Like you have to let them feel the excitement, you know, when you're in it, because it doesn't happen very often. No.
It doesn't happen very often, and because they have to go through so much of you being gone what your schedule is and how your lifestyle has to be for this. People don't realize a lot of times what we sacrifice for this, like what you guys had to do today.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So
in the family that we left Wednesday, we'd be on there Tuesday night. So yeah, Tuesday, right. Wednesday, Monday, whatever it was, but it's
we were gone for 6 days.
6 days,
right?
Solid.
It used to be 2 weeks, but 6 days is a lot now. Yeah. Right? Yeah.
Especially when you have like 1 or 2 day shows in the past. What did you do? What was your first thing you did? Besides drink a beer.
Drank a lot of beer.
I replied to some texts. Okay. I'm sorry, it wasn't. You know, it wasn't. It was good, really good for me, but it wasn't like I was. You know, I was happy.
Yeah.
I'm not like.
Your room, beer,
I didn't even stay with these guys and drink beer.
Which blew my mind. So I reached out. I'm like, I got my tripod. I got my camera on my phone. I'm like, where are you? I'm gonna find you. We're gonna do a quick interview. He goes, oh, I'm in the van going back to the airport. I go, what? I'm like, nuts. I was like, I'm waiting for you. He goes, oh, sorry, it's
too old.
I'm like, whatever. I'm like, all right. Well, I didn't think I didn't know who's.
I wanted to get to bed.
No, I'm sure,
tired.
Yeah.
Okay.
It'll take me a week to recover from that one.
So since you left. I'm not gonna go too deep here, but what did you guys do afterwards? I saw the picture of everyone at Steak and Shake with the trophy. Now, if I'm working at Steak and Shake and a bunch of guys come in with this big trophy, like, oh, what's going on here?
Well, the funny story about that is they went to Steak and Shake and it was closed. Like the inside was closed,
okay.
And the drive-thru was open, and we were all starting to order pizzas. We were still tearing the engine down with Darren. He didn't even know because he was doing engine stuff. And we were all but submitted an order for pizza, and then they called us, Tim, and the guy said, hey, we commissioned them to open it back up.
We just won $1.5 million.
Yeah. I don't know how much he paid them to open it back up.
Right.
You know, I know every one of them had a smile on their face. Yeah. Extra hours of dealing with us, so yeah. I guarantee they treated them well.
And we were the last ones there because Darren was doing engine teardown, and so they were all eating when we showed up, but it was pretty cool.
So where we ordered pizzas from, and I had to help with delivery. Can you bring this to Victory Lane in Daytona?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's good.
Then we had to eat because we haven't eaten all darn day, and it was
right.
Midnight
right.
by the time we left the dump track, so sure. We were starving. We had to eat something.
Well, I always eat.
Yeah. Right.
We're going to get the food great. Part in a minute because you were the connoisseur of that. I'm just going to ask, you don't have to answer, did you go out after Steak and Shake?
Yes. Possibly have some adult beverages somewhere.
We did.
Okay.
Yeah.
So at what moment did it like hit you? Like we just won the Daytona 500. Was there a moment or was it just like when you slow down a little bit and your adrenaline slows down and you're sitting there, you're looking at your teammates and you're out and you're drinking beers and you look at it and go, ha, we just won the 500. I mean, was there a moment or was it just
still hard to comprehend for me.
Yeah.
I mean, how about you?
I think it registered me when I was talking to the tight, close people that I talked to when I called.
Right.
And my voice was cracking. Like at one point when I talked to my wife, talked to my mom, like I stopped because I couldn't really talk.
Yeah.
It was holding back as many tears as I probably could.
Yeah.
So it was very special.
Yeah.
Don't ever tell me it's just a race.
Don't
ever tell these guys it's just
a race. No, 30 seconds after a win when I'm going over a pit wall and I'm walking with one of our Jefferson Hodges, I'm walking with him and I'm tearing up a little bit. I'm getting a little crackly because... Mm-hmm. You know, it's been 16 years since the last. These things don't. This ain't no gimme.
No.
You know, and it isn't like. And I won't take anything away from any of the races at all. But you know, a Loudon or a you know, there's some races that aren't. I won't say they're not hard to win, but you know, they're easier than others.
There's people that work their whole lives.
Yes, absolutely.
Don't ever win. Sometimes don't win a race.
Right.
So that guy 20 never, years, we did it one
yeah,
time.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And you don't know if you're ever going to or
right.
how long you're going to be in the sport. Or, I mean, really, there's so many variables, so you can't take it for granted.
Yeah.
No.
I think the
and
hype.
And you never know when your last one's going to be.
That's
the other thing
I say. So I think the hype that goes into it is the first race of the year. We came off the big high of the Clash. 2 weeks later, we come to Daytona. And I'm going to tell you something. I know you guys didn't get to see it probably, but being in the fan zone, and like we did a couple, three fans in a day, and everyone we talked to was their first 500. And they came from Poughkeepsie, New York, Denver, Colorado. They came from Los Angeles. And the one couple we talked to went to the Clash. and they said, we're coming to Daytona. Yes. But the race was sold out 6 weeks in advance.
Wow. I was thoroughly impressed with how many people
were. I was impressed with the fans, too.
I was thoroughly impressed.
It's been a long time since I've seen that many people.
Pit Road before the race was insane.
I had a little bit of claustrophobia, and I was with my friends Dave and Kim Wilcox. I went to high school with him. It was his first 500, her first NASCAR race ever. And nothing against Kim was like, Tim, this is pretty cool. Mm-hmm. You know, and when we're on the infield grass, I kind of got like, I got to go. Like, it was just so many people.
A little bit too.
Yeah, I started getting, like, claustrophobic.
Well, Luke Combs was playing, right?
Yeah, he
had a heck of a crowd going
on. Right? There, and then everywhere. Yeah. We saw one of the guys from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers was out there partying. Yeah. He saw my buddy's Bills shirt. He goes, Bills Mafia, as we talked to him. But it was, the thing I really thought was cool is there was all generations out there. There was the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, 50s. Yeah. And I saw all kinds of, I saw Hispanics, I saw Black, I saw everything. It was like a potpourri of people.
Yeah.
And the added in the mojo and the, it was electric. It was like, this is pretty cool. And it was good to see because, you know, we've had our moments here lately.
Yeah, especially
and
the past couple
when they announced
years.
On Monday that everything, sweet, everything was sold out, I was like, okay, we're on to something here.
Yeah.
And I talked to Clay Campbell, president of Martinsville Speedway, and I said, hey, how's your ticket sales? He goes, we are trending above where we were in 2019 at this time.
Really?
Because you have to toss out 20 and 21.
Yeah.
He says our ticket sales are trending ahead.
So let me ask you this: because of your background, you think that's how it's being promoted? How do you recapture your fan base?
I don't know. I can't pinpoint. Maybe you guys can help me. I don't know.
Usually, it's a promoter, right?
Car, yeah. When,
well, all that's been a short track. So
exactly.
You know what I mean?
Radios
it's about how it's being promoted. It's hey, we're gonna have Mark Martin and Bobby Allison at the Speedway this weekend. You know what I mean?
But I think the new president of the track, Frank Kelleher, had an opportunity to talk to him, and I said the track's in good hands. He's a racer. He came from the short tracks. He went to races. He raced go karts. He knows, and he's like into the racing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was doing the corporate part for years, but he's into the racing. He identifies with what a fan wants to do.
Yeah,
and when you sell out the fan zone, that's like a ticket. Like how many people you let in because everyone's going around.
Yeah.
But I don't know if it's just the hype or people are. Have been stuck inside for 2 years, and they're like, we're going. You know, we're going to go. We're going to get out. It's great. It's the 500. Let's go do something.
I mean, did they make ticket prices cheaper?
No,
did they make it easier for people?
Because,
you know, there was a spike there, too, where, you know, you couldn't afford to go.
Well, you're also limited to 110,000 fans in the stands. Now, the urgency to get tickets, I bet you they probably sold a couple 10,000 since then. Like, we're going back again.
Right.
And I think that they're like, this was great. The racing was great. It was a new car. You know, the younger drivers, the older drivers, the mix. I can't pinpoint one thing. I just think it was wonderful. But you guys had a sense of that crowd when you looked out there. Holy crap.
I was really impressed.
It was nice to see that again.
It's been a first for a long time.
Yeah.
When you finally went to bed Sunday night, Monday morning, did you like lay there and think, damn it, I'm going to wake up a Daytona 500 champion round. I get to go back to the track and do pictures and all that stuff.
If it wasn't for him calling me in the morning, I wouldn't have woke up.
or I was going to say...
Meeting downstairs at 7:30, he calls me at 7:31, he said that.
Hey, bro, you awake?
You awake? I said, yeah, I am now, I'll be down in a minute.
I would have said, or was it like, what would have happened to me? I would have got up to take a leak because I was out all night, and then I would have, Jesus, I'm going to be late, I got to come. Right?
Yeah.
So you come too, you don't wake up.
once pretty much when I decided to go to bed, when I realized I couldn't walk anymore, it was time to lay down.
Now, you know what?
And it was 4 or 5 in the morning. I don't know what's happening.
Oh, God.
But it was
that's great. I think it's great because, you know, you sell, like you said, you don't know what's going to be your last. So what happened the next day? Like, you guys, in the past, we used to go to the breakfast.
Right.
And, like, we went in, one time we went in there when the 18 won, you know what happens. We all went out, like out. Like we found every ounce of whatever we drink. We walk in the next day, and Teresa Earnhardt's walking around with gum. You guys, guys were in shower, and you're like, because you're getting on the plane and going home.
Yeah.
And they have this breakfast, and they get their jackets, and they pose with the car, et cetera, et cetera. So what do they do this year? How did it go?
It kind of went the same way, right?
Yeah, it was the same way. Yeah. Normally they would push the car in the museum, I believe. But
since
we
Tony
don't have enough cars and parts and all, we asked to try and hang out for this one. And so we ended up bringing the car back, putting it in the truck, bringing it home. But yeah, it was the same thing. Breakfast, Thunderbird people were there.
Oh, very good.
Flyover, so that was cool. It was cool. It was in the media center, I guess it was, looking over.
Daytona 500 Club, it's called.
Okay. Yeah. Overlooking Victory Lane.
Perfect.
So Austin was doing his interviews and all down there.
Yeah, I didn't know. So I don't remember doing handprints and footprints and all of that.
Yeah, he did that.
I've seen where he put his hand in. Yeah. He did a
Hollywood
thing.
Footprint had to be, they had to get more, they had a bigger box for that.
He did a handprint and a footprint in some cement or something.
Let's talk about Austin. Let's talk about what makes him so good.
He's got talent. For one, he's pretty much his whole career, that's all he does is race. He just knows racing. Obviously, his dad being in the position that he was in. And
real quick, his dad's the team president of Penske.
Yeah, so he's had good opportunities, good stuff. And, yeah, I mean, he's just a racer.
He's a student of the sport.
Yeah.
And he produces, too.
Yeah, so, like, what I've learned from him and just being with him a short period of time I have, we'll all finish our work in the day and go have a beer, have some dinner. He literally leaves the racetrack, goes and studies film from practice. He'll study... Why did I not suck up so well? Why was this guy faster than me? Yeah. He that's what he does. He'll go home and study for hours. And then he'll go watch the truck race, watch the Xfinity race, see what he can learn from that. And that's all he does. And he just really is into racing.
Right.
And that's it. Like, period. And so, that's why, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure that makes him more successful.
It's going to give him an edge of the guy that isn't
being, that isn't paying attention like that, right?
I mean, it's like any of our jobs. If you have the passion to do better, you're going to do better.
You will.
If you just want to be good enough, you're only going to be good enough.
Right.
So he comes in the media center, and all of a sudden he walks in and goes, woo! He goes, ooh! He's like, ah, sorry about that second, woo! I'm a little tired, my voice is burnt out. We're like, okay. I mean, he's 23 years old. He's like tall. He's a little lanky, kind of awkward. Not in a bad way, but
he is awkward, yeah.
But he comes in and he sits down. And I'm looking at that, I'm like, he's 23 years old. He just won the Great American Race. And he was hysterical. He was forthright. He says, I don't have a whole lot of friends. Racing's all I know. I hang out at the shop. I go see the guys. I hang out with them. I do things. And it's like, when he said, I don't have a lot of friends, you're like, okay. He goes, I have drivers that are friends I hang out with, but racing is all, it consumes him. That's all he wants to know.
Yeah.
And he says, there's a little pressure on being the team, my dad's the president, Tim Cindric. But at the same time, he knows he has to work that much harder to do it. So I was like, this kid's refreshing.
Yeah.
So from a fan standpoint, he goes, I don't mind. I walk around. People don't know who I am. People don't recognize me. I was like, oh, that's going to change.
So I got a funny story about people not knowing him and not recognizing him. And I've told Darren this story. We were getting ready for the duels, and he was obviously on stage getting – his name, hey, Austin Cindric, starting P, whatever, and there's literally no fans, in quiet,
right? Yeah. Nobody clapping, nobody.
Yeah. So he walks up, and I was sitting on the wall next to the car, and I was like, hey, Austin, do you hear them fans scream for you? They said your name, and he kind of looked at him. I was like, yeah, I didn't either, bro. And he looked at me and he didn't know what to say. I'm like, listen, man, I promise you at some point this year, they'll scream for you.
They're
okay?
Cheer.
They'll cheer for you. Yeah. It's okay.
But, that's awesome.
He came in the garage the other day, and Tim and I were actually standing next to each other talking, and he came in the garage, and it might have been after the Ford drafting meeting or whatever, and he's got his perfect Penske white shirt on. Yep. He's got a nice dress slacks on and black dress shoes on. And I said to him, I said, man, you are nailing it. You are a fine young man.
Right? Yeah.
And he's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, you are the epitome of Penske.
Right.
You're not coming in with some khaki shorts
and
rags and some flip flops. You know what I mean?
We sat and talked to him for a while, and he was just, it was like, I felt like I was talking to someone I talked to before,
because
he's so unassuming, because he doesn't know any better, but he's a champion in the Xfinity, right? But
he knows he's pretty humble yet.
Yeah, his dad's trained him well.
Yeah.
Oh, he knows the right things to say.
The beatings will continue until morale.
Right.
But no, I think the future's bright with him. But
absolutely.
That's just me from a being around him so long, and immediate standpoint, I was like, God, this kid's a joy to cover, because he's in there saying BS and this. And he talked about the Xfinity loss last year, how long it haunted him.
Oh, I'm sure.
And someone brought up, he goes, we done talking about this? He goes, seriously, I'm done talking about you. And like, so one reporter goes, so going back to Phoenix, and he whipped his head around and goes, I'm just kidding. He goes, good. But it was like, it was just like he's still upset about that.
He's very upset about it.
Yeah.
The year before he won it, but that's great. So I'm just going to ask you guys, like, you had the celebration. So here's reality. You come back, what, yesterday?
Yeah, I guess so.
What time did you get yesterday?
Yeah, with lunch, 12:30.
Where'd you go? Right to the shop, didn't you?
No, I went to bed. I think I was still hammered.
You needed some rapid removal, didn't you?
If I went to the shop, they were not going to get much production out of
right.
It's probably best that
that's cute.
I knew I was going to hit it hard today, so
you need to cut it off. Your digits are already taking a bandsaw.
Yeah.
But today, back to reality, you guys had to get the car ready.
Yeah.
You said you literally came right from where before here?
Yeah.
It was 12-hour day.
Yeah, we were there 7 to 7. Ugh. And took all day to get it done, trust me. But we are here and we got it done and we're on to Fontana.
So everybody knows they went to the shop this morning at 7 o'clock. The Fontana car was sitting there. They have to do all their nut and bolt and prep work before it can go on the truck, because once it gets handed off to these guys, it is now their responsibility. So they can't just say, oh, you guys do this for us, okay, we'll put it on the truck. No. They have to nut and bolt it. They have to make sure all their stuff's right.
Final setup,
final scale. Did you run it today?
Ran it today.
And then it can go in the box, we call it. Then it can go on the truck. Yeah. You know.
So when are you flying up?
Friday morning.
Oh, you're looking forward to that. It's going to be a nice long nap right there.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, so we got some comments here. Maria Turner says Cash is watching now. That's your nephew?
Yeah. What's up, Cash?
There you go.
What's up, Cash?
Tons of congrats. Alexandra Russell, it means so much as a family for them to call us. That's on you.
Yeah, that's my wife.
Great job on the Motor Meteor. That's Dennis, your brother.
Dad.
Hey, Dad, what's
up? What's up,
hope the fishing was good.
You get plenty of walleye there, eh?
Lake Champlain,
that's upstate New York.
New York, that's right.
Right on the Canadian border.
Fort Ticonderoga is there, yeah, I've been there. KB Belmont, Warren still got his voice. He wasn't yelling nearly as loud. Jody Barron, congrats, Warren. You're one of the best fabricators I ever had the privilege to work with.
Thank you.
The best partner in crime on the road.
Yes.
You totally deserve it. Obviously, he's been drinking. KB Belmont says went bowling after, right? Wally McCarty.
Long time
employee. Congratulations, Darren. Being part of the first win for the two car is way cool. So happy for you and Team Penske.
Thank you, Wally.
I declared today Austrian Cindric Team Penske Day. 22.
Oh,
that's right.
Nice.
Yeah, that's right. Don't
you congrats. Thanks for the show, Jody Aaron. That's our joy. Hey, Darren and Kirk, it's Brittany and Rob and Turks.
Oh, nice.
There you go.
They're honeymooning.
Turks and Caicos?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. And he got us on.
That was the wedding I went to Friday.
Oh, so we're international.
Drove up Friday morning.
Right.
Did the wedding Friday night. Left after the wedding. Drove back. Got back in time to sleep for an hour. And then did Saturday at the racetrack.
God bless.
Congratulations, Brittany. Good to see you.
Congratulations. Cheers.
Are you watching us?
Yes. Yeah.
Wow.
We're international. They're Turks and Caicos.
Yeah.
Hey, you're in your helmet. You're not supposed to be watching.
Put your clothes back on, please.
Wrong camera.
That's Danny Belmont right there.
Hey, Pops.
Andy. Warren, Darren, Kirk, we've got old fashions with your names on them. Hey, I'll take one too, Andy. I like those. Dave Chiocchio, whatever.
Dave.
Is there any Jack in that mug?
Yeah.
Amanda McKee, congratulations, Darren and the Kirk and the crew. This cute girl named Kim Brosell keeps tuning in.
She's tuned in.
Is that your wife?
Yes. I got a book.
You got a book, that's right. You got to read it. You have his bedtime story.
You can read to me.
Yeah, so you put the form away for one day. James, sorry about that. James Booth, cheers, everybody. Good show. Congrats on the big win. Tess Carl, fellow author up in Akron, New York, my hometown. Is that the best Daytona you've experienced fan-wise? I don't know, you guys, you had fans in the garage and everything. It was
crazy. I'll say it's the best in a long time.
In a long time, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
Back in early 2000s, it was a lot crazier.
Yeah.
But as far as last 10 years, yes.
In the last 10 years, easy.
Okay, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
So do you think the trend's going to continue? Can we talk about that?
I sure hope so. Yeah.
We'll see in Fontana with the ticket sales in Vegas and everything. So, Alexander Russell, he's one of the most down-to-earth guys. He was so nice to our kids when they met him. Very good. I think we're talking about Austin.
Austin.
Lisa Holmquist Hicks says, Lessa. They are ignoring us. No, we do questions at 8:30. So it's 8:36, that's what we're doing, okay?
It says.
And then Maria laughs, and Dave DeCoco, whatever, says, imagine
that. DeChachi.
DeChachi. He's connected, isn't he?
Amanda McKee. I'm sorry, I don't like cement. Amanda McKee, Brisket Anyone? Brisket Anyone was the Amanda McKee? What's that?
Father-in-law.
Okay, got it. How many rings do those boys have now? We talked about that earlier. There's 11.
They tell 11 five, sitting here.
11 sitting here. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Maria, one proud mother-in-law here. There you go.
Yeah.
That's good. Best brother-in-law ever. Boy, they're all sucking up to you. They must want tickets.
Need to that's, my, that's my other Mike.
I won the $1.5
million.
He's from New York, California.
Hey, here's a good one. Ryan Clark. What's the attitude like within the shop after 500 win? Is it celebrated as a team win or more as a singular as a car win?
Shop guys are really happy for us. All of the other three race teams are like, yeah, hey, good job, bro.
That's what happened.
They're like, we wish we would have won it. You know?
Yeah, there's a little bit of
animosity there.
I won't even say jealousy. It's just a
damn
it.
Damn it, I wish we would have won it.
Yeah.
Disgruntled.
Yeah.
But all the shop guys love
it.
Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. That's good. I like to hear that. Here's one. Jeff Byers. Is it strange for you guys to see Brad in the six car?
Yeah, it was. I went up congratulate him after he won the 150s.
Me too.
And
good, you did.
And say good luck before the 500 because he was only two cars down from us.
Right.
And super nice guy still. I mean, he sent a text to us, Craig and I, after the race. Really? Like, congratulations.
So Brad reached out. That's good.
Yeah. Okay. So it was
super
cool.
Nice guy. Until he's behind you.
He was a great person all around.
I was happy for him to win 150s, firing off just like
his company. They swept it. How about that, right?
Yeah. Yep. And they had a chance at the
500. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So that was the first Daytona 500 win for the number two ever.
Yeah.
Ever.
Ever. And all the years of it.
You guys know, talk about that one. That's our HR lady.
All right, here we go. Mark Campbell, great job, Austin.
Yeah.
Darlene DeRosa.
Darlene.
Great job, guys.
Hey, Darlene.
She's your what, HR?
Yeah, Darlene DeRosa. HR. She's been at Penske.
She's been there a long time.
For probably 25 years. Longer, because she was at Penske Krennepis when I was there.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Does she take resumes? Anyhow.
Keep scrolling. I saw my old friends, the very first one.
Great. Who's that?
Renee Cook.
Yeah.
She was a good friend of my sister's, and I've known her since I was a baby.
Very good.
And she texts me, so hi, Renee, how are you?
Great crew, well-deserved. Tom Beatty, our number one fan in New Jersey. One race in the books with new wheel and single lug nut package. Your thoughts or concerns moving forward? Ooh.
That's a good question.
Do we go there? It's up to you guys.
Yeah, they've got a little work to do.
I wouldn't say work to do. We have some growing pains with that, right?
Yeah. And we knew there was going to be with this car. We're going to find some weak links they need to make a little better.
Yep.
There was some things with the one lug nut that we knew we were going to have to pay attention to a little bit more.
Yep.
It was only very few that had problems, but I think it's minimal. We can work on it.
Right.
IMSA and IndyCar and road racers do this every weekend, all the time for years.
Yeah.
Right. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
I think the one thing they have to work on is if you get more than one flat tire, that you can still roll to pit road.
Yeah.
Because that's where Joey got screwed.
Deep trouble.
He had two or four flats, and the car just would not go. And actually, it was funny because the tow trucks pushed him through the infield.
Right.
And I don't think they have four-wheel drive, so the tow truck was spinning. And he was hitting him so hard to get the car to move because the car was just bottomed out.
Oh, yeah. And then it knocked the catch down.
Yeah, and Joey was like, check my rear end. He's harder than he should. So I think those guys might get some four-wheel drive.
Well, and you know, what our fans don't understand is that because we went to that small sidewall and that big wheel, there's no inner liner in there anymore. Mm-hmm. And we might have to, you know, I would not be opposed to freezing the field on a yellow.
Yeah.
If there's flat tires or just in general?
If there's a flat, if there's a wreck, I would say if there's a yellow, just freeze it.
Right.
Well, if it wasn't for those flat tires, I mean, if you could have made it back to pit road,
right.
Joey could have changed tires. Yeah. He would have been on the lead lap.
Yeah.
Possibly could have had three of our teammates, drivers up there and in the lead and had a better chance than just two.
Another point too is like the roadblocks that we run.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure that they were sitting on the roadblocks.
They were digging. It was
and
in the ground.
Rear wheels were not doing anything.
Yeah.
And that was a problem.
And you get on that and you get on the rear diffuser.
Yeah.
And you can't go. Yeah. Right.
So the rear diffuser, when it gets
when
down
you, when you have flat tires, it's on the ground.
Now it's like a plow.
Yeah.
Literally you're trying to. Stay tuned on that. Richard Coleman, not sure about Cindric since I've never met him, but two guys you have there are first class. Congrats on the W.
There you go. Is that a spotter Coleman?
No. Someone Richard, else. He's running for Town Iredell.
Yeah. Politicians in here. Yeah. He was politicking right there.
That's the guy that was a pit crew guy.
Oh, yeah. Is that right? Now he's trying to be a politician?
Why wouldn't you?
Right. Iredell County.
Well, good luck. Alexander Russell.
Yeah.
Ryder and Lily say hi. By the way, this time, you
hey, Ryder and Lily. That's my son and daughter.
I knew that. I was waiting for you to take the on that one. Real quick, you said you FaceTimed your family. What was their reaction in Victory Lane when you were FaceTiming them from Daytona? How old are they again?
My daughter is 4 and my son's 8.
Okay.
Yeah.
So they kind of know what you're doing, what's going on.
Yeah. No, I think it's cool. I mean, they love going to the shop, seeing the cars, going to the track, seeing the cars. Mm-hmm. They're very fortunate to be able to do a lot of that. So they're cool. I mean, they loved it. I can hardly hear them, but
that's more like, they know yeah. By the way, nice hat you have on. He is wearing the Daytona 500 Chevy.
Mine already got commandeered by my 20-year-old.
Really?
I'm taking that hat.
Wow.
I said, are you and your brother going to fight over it? No. Because I'm taking it.
I would raise his rent. Oh, yeah, never mind. that's cool that you wore that. We appreciate that. Renee Cooks, hugs and whatever that is. Wally McCarty says, Darlene DeRosa has been a Team Penske when Tim Lombardi was in diapers. Karen Alquist,
that's my mom.
Okay, congrats on the 500, which I'm sure you've heard before.
Thanks, Mom.
Oopsie, my God, these comments are coming like crazy. I gotta keep up. Mark Nimmo, great job, guys. Cheers to you and the team. Karen, again, a long trip from the Blythe Speedway. Mom and Dad.
There you go.
That's where it all started.
That's all right.
Blythe, we talked about that when he was on Pump Table Racing. We talked about Blythe.
Dave, what's his name? Oh, crap.
DeChachi.
Yeah, thank you, DeChachi. I'm making ribs for the New Hampshire race. I'll bring a bottle of Black Label for you guys.
Nice.
There you go.
We'll take it.
Dave brings a smoker up to New Hampshire.
Okay. Oh, that's right, Dave. Okay.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, Dave.
Yeah. Now we know you, Dave. That name is Steve.
I'm so glad that you guys came on. Anyway, we're just going to go to the comments here. Let's see. Jared Michael Peterson, that nice, smooth, cheated Ford common elements area showed well, eh? Wow, there we go.
Where did that come from?
Yikes.
Some Jared Michael Peterson. Wow, that's
can't
your opinion.
Cheat now. We buy all the parts from NASCAR.
So what he's talking about is, and I don't know who this guy is.
I'm not going to figure it out. I'll lose it.
So anyways, our wheel openings, our wheel bands on the front of the Fords, there was some issues when when NASCAR added all this holes in the back window, splitter stuffers, engine strikes, a NACA duct on the floor. They added all this stuff for drag and to take some downforce away. Well, it kind of hurt our Ford a little more than hurt everybody else. And they ended up doing NASCAR did a parity test, it's called, where after this was all on the cars, they took them back to the wind tunnel and they blew them all. and we got to do a modification to a common area on the front of our wheel, of our wheel bands.
That was drag, right?
That and that was a drag reduction, right? Because we were going to be 20 off of the Chevrolets. Now let me explain something to this young man,
Jared.
First of all, Jared, we did not sit on the pole. The Chevrolets still had a better car than we did.
Yeah.
What the Chevrolets didn't do is they didn't hook up and push each other. They just decided they didn't want to play nice with each other, and they wrecked and did this and did that. If you have two drivers that work together all day long, like those two guys did,
yeah.
You're going to win that race. Bubba Wallace and Kyle Busch were another example. Mm-hmm. They worked together the whole time. So if we would have sat on the pole, I would say, yes, we had an advantage because that's single car speed.
We qualified 21st.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were the worst of our company, right?
That's right. Yeah.
So, again, not to shit in your mess kit, but it's all I gotta say. It.
So there, Jerry.
I'm glad Jared's watching, but I'll give him a little education on that.
He's probably sitting there at home going,
they did it for parody.
Parody. Anita Rath Jorg.
That's my aunt.
Okay, there you go.
Hi, Anita.
Okay, here we go. Jeff Byers got a good comment here. The new car sure did promote a lot of door handle racing. Very exciting. I did notice there was less single file than there was before, and there was more side by side. Like we were talking, like the four cars seemed to be strong together. And we kind of talked like, was the tandem going to show up?
Right.
Two cars, but that didn't show up. It wasn't very prominent.
It happened,
but
in time.
It was still
so.
There.
Yeah, I think it showed.
When you saw that first two guys pull five, six car lengths,
right,
lead pack, that's what was happening there. Yeah.
It was happening in spurts.
Yep.
Good point on Jeff on that. I thought it might have showed itself later towards the end, but they were sitting at let's see. John Russell Norris, great show tonight. Thanks, John. Ah, here we go. Tina Yukano Bullens, we all know her. Jeremy, the crew chief's wife, she says, awesome twosome for Tuesday. Exactly.
Thank you, Tina.
And I told her before the race, I says, you look very nice for Victory Lane later tonight. When she was dressed on Sunday, she goes, oh, yeah. But sure enough, guess where she was? Then we're in Victory Lane.
She's a former guest.
Maria says, Turner says, tell him.
I'm not telling anybody. I know the facts, so I'll explain it to you.
Wait a minute. Now he's trying to save himself with me.
Did I not just explain the situation?
Yeah, you did. But now he's trying to save himself with me. He says, go Bills.
Oh. Tough subject.
Why didn't you just say that to some of my peeps?
He said, go Bills.
Right.
But anybody can say
go
that.
Packers. We both lost the same game.
Exactly. John Russell Norris, as you well said. So what happens from here, guys? Like, what's next for this car? We go to a 2 mile, mile and a half, and a mile in the next four races.
Well, you have a big test coming up.
You're about to find out.
I would never say the pressure is off because it's always going to be there because we win the first race and all of a sudden we suck the rest of the year. Right. It's going to be horrible. So
you know, there was a lot of
expectations to keep the ball rolling and make sure that you have good finishes, top fives, top tens, some wins here and there. We got road courses. He's really good at road course racing. So. Yeah.
Quite a few this year, actually.
So. Yes.
There's always a lot of talk about what we call a Daytona hangover, right?
Usually
the person who wins Daytona doesn't do much afterwards, and you don't want
to
be that.
So how many guys have gone from the 500 to the championship? I mean, I think Gordon.
I don't know.
I mean, very
good question.
The ratio is very small. I know that.
There's a better. I heard this stat years ago. If you win Indy, you have your when you get to that point, apparently in a year. You win Indy, you're probably going to win the championship.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mark, the Oval, not
when they do the road course. When it was the Oval, right.
So,
but maybe it's still now when it's...
Yeah. So, I mean, that'll work for us. Right. I don't know.
All three of you guys. So what are you looking for now as we do go to the two at Fontana, California, then we go to the mile and a half of Vegas, and then the 1 mile of Phoenix. What is it you're looking to learn here for the next three races?
Well, I mean, in my opinion, the hardest part for us is... Now we're switching from practicing two or three times in a weekend. Now we get 15 minutes.
50 or 15?
15 minutes.
They call it hot laps.
Hot laps. And then you have 15 minutes to prepare for qualifying, then you qualify. So literally in a matter of 30 minutes, you're practicing and qualifying. And that's all you got.
So you can't make adjustments or like quick and fast? And
you can make a few very limited.
Minor.
Yeah. You can adjust the wedge bolts and I think it's front toe and a few small things, air pressure, and that's all you got. So we better be right showing
up. Can you
up.
Jack the car up? We
one side at a time.
Okay, I know we talked about that.
You could jack the left side up at one time or just the right side up at one time.
Okay. So no more putting on Jackson.
No more Jackson. Oh my God. I don't
think you won't. You won't even come in the garage, right?
No, on pit road, doing all adjustments out there, practice 15 minutes, 15 minute break, and then qualify.
Okay.
And then you're done. Impounded, put it in the garage for the night, and you race the next day.
And Darren, you can change what we call it. There's a new intake piece called a throttle plate.
Throttle plate,
which,
yeah.
Which dictates how much air gets into the...
So there's no more tape on the grill.
No more tape. Here, explain this.
Yeah, so normally we would control our engine temperature by... how much tape or how much grill opening we have that allows air to go through the radiator and out the other side. So now NASCAR says no more tape on the front of the car. So now after behind the radiator, behind the oil cooler, there's
call it a restrictor or a perforated.
Yeah, it's basically a aluminum plate with holes that restricts how much airflow goes through your radiator and then out of the hood through the, louvers.
Louvers, yeah.
So now that's basically the only thing we can do engine-wise other than a map change. We're hoping to be able to put chassis down and have that close enough to where we won't have to do too much of that.
Right.
We do have a qualifying, so we can change the plate with the holes in it. For qualifying player, and qualifying map change.
Wait, so just so everybody knows, when I'm calling it a throttle plate, it has nothing to do with the intake on the engine side.
Nothing to do with the tapered spacer.
Yes,
it's all tapered spacer. It's all how much air flows through the radiator.
Which in turn is for cooling.
Yeah. Creates higher or lower temps.
Right.
So you guys are flying on Friday. That means everything's going to happen Saturday. Is that what I'm getting?
Yeah, tech Friday.
Right.
Then impound once you clear.
Right.
Then you go practice 15 minutes. Then 15 minutes later, you qualify. Then you're impounded again until race.
So from a TV standpoint, you're like, that's one show. Before it's a qualifying show and a practice show. Now it's all one.
It'll be an hour, right? I guess on Saturday. Hour.
That's correct.
Wow.
Then race on Sunday.
Yeah. This is going to be different.
It happens quick. So you really got to be on your game.
Race and qualifying? What did you? How? Mm-hmm. Race and qualifying Sunday.
Qualify Saturday.
Okay.
And then just race Sunday.
Right. Okay.
Hold your hand up real quick. Turn around. This guy just came from the shop. He's telling you to go watch it. When you talk about dedication going Pump Table Racer, that's awesome right there. Yeah. Right out of the shop.
Bleeding
death. Bleeding dirty. Yeah.
Dave DeCoco?
DeChachi.
Yeah, that guy.
Dave.
Says, any thoughts about the full body skid plate? I was impressed when Joey spun and never got air.
Yeah, but we saw 21 get air.
Yeah.
21 got air. 21. But he flipped, but he was, didn't want to back over again.
So he was hit into getting air.
Okay.
Right.
So that when the 21 got hit in the side, it made him get air.
Right. Him up, yeah.
And he came back down on the ground on four wheels.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's what we want to see. We don't want to see this,
yeah. No, yeah.
This like pirouette.
Like we did in the Xfinity race.
Right.
Yeah. Whew, Jordan Anderson, man.
Yeah.
Worst part is he doesn't have the money to. I mean, I don't mean
Maya Snyder.
Maya Snyder, no, but
Jordan owns a car.
Yes.
Team owner. I mean, you could see right through that car when it was like motor's gone, fuel cell's gone, and you're like, wow. And then Michael Jordan and Denny Hamlin camped up there, whatever you want to call it.
There was a picture of someone had a chunk of
Denny's Hamlin, bus
in the bus.
Yeah, Denny's bus was
the A-frame was wedging his radiator grill.
Yeah. Was it really?
Yeah.
And then you call the insurance company.
Yeah.
So I got this problem. Was it a piece from a car? Where was it? It's a race car. Never mind. That's a good conversation.
I saw another picture of a car that was behind the wreck.
Yeah.
That the trailing arm went through the side of the car. It ended up coming out the trunk. It was sitting in the trunk.
Seriously?
Yeah. Is that a new commercial for that? Yeah, we've seen it all.
Jeff Byer, will last year's notes even help with this new car? Good question.
That's for Kirk.
There you go. Yeah, car chief. Who makes Jeremy Bones look good? Go ahead.
No.
None of them, right? Because
So your notes are pretty much like this thing. Just
no.
To do them out.
Like these beers are empty.
Yeah. Yeah, fine.
All we know from last year is the drivers knowing how to draft.
Right.
Like Austin said, I think it was post-race interviews. Is it drafted like the old truck series truck did. Mm-hmm. Big holes, big runs. And I think that probably was a benefit for him just being in that situation.
I think he's asking you about California.
So California, yeah, no, it's help us. Other than
this is all
other than the engineers that work for our company are very smart, and they have the loads from the track, so they know what springs they need to travel, what they need to travel at to not bottom out, and what wedge we need to be dynamically right when we show up.
Right.
And we're hoping that all that works out.
All right.
And if it doesn't,
so here's how this goes, right?
Yeah.
We haven't been to California in what, 2 years?
2 years, yeah, that's right, yeah.
Right? And we don't have good data because we have no data for this car. And we're going back to old data.
Well, it's a new aero map.
And it's a new aero map. It's a different aero package.
It's an aero package altogether. So we don't know.
Someone, there's going to be a team, right? You're going to find out whose simulation program is really good.
Working the best.
Yeah. Right. And when they unload, someone's going to be really, really fast. And I'm saying like someone, meaning Joe Gibbs, Roger Penske, Rick Hendrick.
Somebody's going to hit it.
You know, Keselowski, Childress, whoever. Someone's going to hit it. And one of them big names, one of them big teams is going to be way off.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's not us.
I hope so.
But someone's not going to hit it, and that's...
And the problem, you won't have time to fix it.
You won't have time to fix it.
15 minutes.
Yeah.
You have no time. You can't change springs. You can't change any of that. So you are in trouble. Like, you either show up good, or you're in trouble for the weekend. This is how it's going to be.
You better have your stuff together before you go.
I think I do, but we'll see.
Last question I'm going to give all of you. What would top this? What would top Sunday?
I told my brother last night, I said, if we win a championship, I'm just going to quit.
Yeah, I'm retired.
Yeah, we're just retired.
Going out on
top. If we can do that.
Do you have a championship to your credit?
As a company, but as not as my personal car.
And you do with
Joe, I do as with Joey. I'm all company now. I'll probably never ever be on a team.
But at that time, you were with Joey, weren't you?
I was with Joey's. No, I was with the company. Okay. So
yeah,
all right.
I would probably never end up being a team guy again. Okay, yeah. No one will have me. I'm too damn old.
Yeah, we both finished second 2 years ago.
But I'd love to see him win a championship. Yeah.
In a second with Brad, that was a heartbreaker. We thought we had that one in the bag.
And really want to win races like Kyle Larson did last year, like Martin Truex did the year before, where you have 7, 8, 9 wins.
Yeah,
I mean, that I really like to have a year like that. That would top Daytona as if we went out and just had not just 2 or 3 wins, but like the 7, 8, 9, like the Jimmy Johnson.
I like that. And all that. I like that. I like that more than a championship. Yeah. You know that?
Don't let this be a fluke.
Right.
I don't want to win Daytona 500 and then the championship. Yeah. I would really like to win 7, 8, 9, 10 wins in a year. That would be ultimate.
Really cool.
Do you think then Austin Cedric would be recognized?
I guarantee there's some fans cheering for him at that point.
Yeah. I think he's on the map now.
I'm pretty sure he'll get fans next week in Fontana.
The best thing he said when he got out of that car, and he's like, wow, in front of a packed house. At that point, they were cheering for him.
They were going crazy.
And they recognized, he recognized them, and they recognized him. And I think that was like the, here you go.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, before we close, I want to say thank you very much.
Absolutely.
For coming on.
Yeah, thank you guys. I know it was a spur of the moment thing Sunday night.
Right. Congratulations. I'm very happy and proud of all of
you.
And God bless for all of you.
All right.
Thank all of you for tuning in. Once again, the only podcast in the country to have 3 Daytona 500 crew members on the same time. And on that note, shall we say it?
Yep.
Good night, Dick.
Good night, Dick.
Good night, Dick. Everybody. Wow. Hey, another great show.
Thank you
so much, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate it. We do this every Tuesday night. And Warren, I think the guests we've had have been fantastic.
Phenomenal.
And the people that are following us, we appreciate it. We're reaching 42,000 people a month. Can you believe that? And we appreciate you watching.
We're having fun. Hope everybody else enjoys it.
That's it. And this is just a fun show. Bucket of beer. Guys sitting around talking about it. So keep tuning in. We appreciate it. Check out our store and everything. But we appreciate you people. And we will see you next week. Right, my friend?
Yes, sir.
All right. See you next week.